You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
When was the last time you thanked God for your health care? At Redeem Healthshare Ministry, it's not just about paying medical bills. It's about honoring Christ and relieving the burden of rising medical costs. From routine checkups to life surprises, Redeem offers affordable, flexible programs supported by a caring Christian community. Say amen to healthcare that fits your faith and your budget. See how it works at redeemhealthshare.org.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Online visit. Go to forhims.com/joy. That's forhims.com/joy.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
When it comes to Falcons training camp, no one has it covered like us. Get your exclusive camp coverage here. Our Falcons play here.
WZGC Atlanta. WZGC HD1.
Always live and free on the Odyssey app.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Back at a Chuckery Show. Hanging out at the Kia Studios on this Tuesday night with you. 404-726-0929. That is the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. Michael Harris is homered. Braves grabbed the lead back, so now it's 2-1. California Angels had tied it up here recently, but Braves get it right back. And home run by Michael Harris's 10th of the year. You know, he's up to 274, by the way. You know, we've talked about, you know, the fact that, you know, he's had his struggles and this, that, and the other. But, you know, again, he's up to 274, 322 on base. He's got 10 homers and 29 RBI. Again, he's hitting in the 9-hole by and large. So he's not probably going to have a lot of RBI, but he's got good power. You know, it's not going to be the numbers that he put up last year with the 19 homers. But still, I mean, it's not been too bad for him. So, you know, again, it's, you know, a situation where a little bit of the sophomore slump. But still, the numbers could round themselves out to be pretty good when you look at what he's doing. So. And obviously, Matt Olson is just on a tear. He's got his 90th RBI, which I believe leads Major League Baseball right now. And obviously, look, he's on track to be the all-time leader in home runs for the Atlanta Braves in a single season. What's his name? Andrew Jones has the mark at 52. He's on pace to break that number. So it's been a monster season for him. And obviously, a lot of the guys that have had big years. I mean, you know, Ozuna's had a good bounce back year. Rosario's had a good bounce back year. Sean Murphy's been unbelievable how good he's been. Slipping a little bit of late. His batting average is down to 262 with a 365 on base. So he's been slipping a little bit here. But again, that's to be expected. I mean, catchers, one thing about this part of the country is when you're catching on a regular basis, it's 1,000 degrees outside. And I'm not sure you can prepare for the heat. You know, I don't know how hot Oakland gets, but I would think that Oakland Day-Day is a fairly hot city. I mean,
yeah, it's not here though.
Yeah, no, it's not.
It's not here.
It's not.
So, you know, it's probably one of the cooler parts of California. So
yeah, I mean, isn't there's all the water and everything around it.
Yeah, it's not too far from the bay and all.
Yeah, so I mean, you get those breezes that come in off the bay, but yeah, it's not like here in Atlanta. It's not the heat and humidity and everything like that comes along with Atlanta. So, you know, again, you're adjusting to the East Coast and learning to, you know, trying to catch and navigate your way through heat and everything else. So, you know, it's to be expected that, again, as we head into August, that, you know, it would be a situation where your catchers are going to slow down here just a little bit. And, Day-Day, it is crazy to think about. We talked about school. Won't be long before high school football cranks itself back up.
A couple more weeks. Matter of fact, you got some teams having scrimmages this week.
Corky Kell's middle of the month.
It kicks off. What is that Wednesday, which I think is the 15th, is that Wednesday. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday for Corky Kell. But scrimmages this week, scrimmages next week, and then that following week, Corky Kell gets things started on that Wednesday. And then the high school scoreboard show will start with Sam Crenshaw and Chris Parker. We'll officially start the scoreboard show the following Friday.
Yeah, because the Friday the 18th is Falcons preseason.
Right, and then Saturday we're live all day. We're actually play-by-play of Corky Kell Classic.
Right, but so I think Wednesday the 16th and Thursday the 17th, we've got play-by-play action
for Corky Kell.
Then Falcons play on that Saturday the 18th, and then Friday the 18th. Mm-hmm. And then Saturday the 19th,
we've got
five games.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, four games.
Four games,
yeah,
sorry.
Four games.
Is everything at the Mercedes-Benz, or where is it?
Well, everything on Saturday is at Mercedes-Benz.
Okay.
On Wednesday,
they're at their respective schools.
Well, so it's two games per night Wednesday.
Parkview and Kell is Wednesday night.
Right, and those games will be played at Kell, and there's a game prior to that. There's a 5:30 game.
Okay.
And then that you said that one was the Wednesday night?
That's Wednesday night.
And
then
Thursday, there'll be two games up at
Cherokee High School, my daughter's high school.
Yeah, they're playing what, West Forsyth?
West Forsyth, yeah.
Yeah, so that's at West Forsyth, and there'll be a game before that game. And
where is West Forsyth at?
Depending on where you're, because you're Roswell, so it would probably take you up 400.
Well, but I mean, is it just over the Cherokee line into Forsyth County? So, I mean, again, if let's just say you go Highway 20 across Cherokee. So again, you're in Cherokee County. You're at Cherokee High School. You can cut all the way across Georgia 20 and get over through downtown Canton. You come out on that on over by 575, and you get on Georgia 20, and then you start headed toward Forsyth County.
Yeah. So I don't think it's that close to the Cherokee County side, because I want to say last year when I went up there, it took me up 400 from where I was coming from. I've only been to that campus once.
Okay.
Yeah. So,
is it out coming?
Yeah, it's more up that way, yeah.
Okay.
So
yeah,
it's more, I guess, east compared to where Cherokee County is.
Well, it's
got to
be on the west side of Forsyth County, though. The west side of Forsyth County and Cherokee County buttress up to one another.
Okay. Well, I remember Cherokee actually played up there. Was that last year or year before? And I remember them saying it took them, like hearing some of the parents and stuff, it took them like a couple of hours coming from Cherokee.
Okay.
Now, they did say, to your point, I want to say that route you just said, I believe they said that was some of the route they kind of took.
Yeah, I mean, that would be.
But it still took them some hours.
Yeah, I mean, that would be kind of the straightest route. I mean, I can't believe it would be that far.
Yeah.
If it's west for Scythe County. So, but anyway, but that will take place Thursday, and then obviously, we'll have all kinds of action: Norcross, Marietta, Brookwood, McEachern, Mill Creek, North Gwinnett, and Grayson Walton. So a lot of high school football here. The football show will crank back up. What did you guys say?
It should be that following Friday, which is what, the 25th?
The 25th, yes. So
that's when the actual scoreboard show
will be back. So.
Yeah, Sam Crenshaw, Chris Parker.
Yeah, so it's coming pretty quickly here. High school football is on its way. So, all right, speaking of things that are on their way, as Falcons foosball, they will be in action a week from this coming Friday, believe it or not, for preseason action. A week from Friday, The 11th will be when they are in Miami. And that week leading up to it will be fun because that will be the joint practices. And that will be the most important thing that goes on. So, Troy Andersen, who did he catch up with? The midday guys?
Mike Bell caught up with him.
Oh, okay, Mike Bell caught up with him. So let's hear what Troy Andersen had to say. Is Mike Bell caught up with him earlier today?
It is Duke Chappelle live for Falcons camp, talking with the linebacker, the man 44, Troy Andersen, who is the special feature on the Falcons website. And I'm betting 99% you haven't watched the video yet.
Yeah, no. Not my style.
Not your style. Got to look at your background. I think we busted your chops when we drafted you. And we said, is your family a member of like a large crime organization fighting Kevin Costner up there in Yellowstone? And you said no.
Oh, no, not at all.
So I watched the video. Man, the first thing I got to see as a guy who's lived in Atlanta the last 25 years, a lot of snow up there. It gets cold.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Well, they talked to your coaches, your high school football, basketball coach. Everybody's talking about a natural athlete you are. How do you use that athleticism in your second year to take the big leap?
Just kind of continue to improve every single day. Get out here, work with the guys, try to hone in on your craft and develop skills.
Is it any bit easier in the second year?
Football is always hard, and camp's meant to be hard and kind of built a toughness up. I guess it's more comfortable around the building, kind of pick things up quicker and have a relationship with coaches and players. So I guess in that sense, it's somewhat easier.
Right. Troy Andersen's with us, guys, linebacker for the Falcons. What from last year, whether you're watching film or talking to your coaches, was the thing you thought you had to work on the most in the offseason?
Just tackling, being detailed and dialed with your alignments, and then just understanding what offenses are trying to do pre-snap, try to get keys and reads from different formations and tells that they have. Just kind of overall being a better player.
But for those who don't remember, this guy played multiple positions in high school, so this is still relatively new for you at linebacker.
Yeah, I think this is year three full-time linebacker, so still working on it.
You get any help from Caden Ellis and some of the guys?
Oh, yeah. Caden's been awesome. Just to have an older guy in the room like that, and obviously a phenomenal player, great person, kind of pick his brain and... Yeah, play with him. It's been a lot of fun so far.
Did you have guys like Bijan Robinson when you were playing in Montana?
Man, he's a special athlete for sure. It's fun to watch him work and compete against him.
Right, and we talked a lot, as Troy Andersen joins us here on Duke Chappelle live from Falcons camp, just the athleticism since last year to this year. It seems like we've got so many studs on the skill positions this year.
Yeah, I mean, our offense has a ton of weapons, and hopefully I think on defense we do too. So.
Right.
It's a good battle out here every single day at camp. Fun to get back to football and looking forward to the year.
Now, on the radio, Carl and I said, by virtue of adding so many pieces in front of you defensively in the rotation, more likely you won't have a lineman getting on you at the next level. You think that's how it's going to work this year?
That's the goal. We have some studs up front, Grady and David, Clayus. I mean, the list goes on this year, and it's definitely a welcome thing to have up front, have those big guys taking up space and eating up double teams. So hopefully we can do our jobs better.
So what's next? Cold tub? Now we got you off the practice field. What's up next?
Oh, yeah. Cold tub, a little rehab, and watch some film.
All right, man. Well, we appreciate your time. Best of luck. And by the way, man, how much should fans expect? Because we don't see you guys playing somebody else until, a week from Friday against the Dolphins. I mean, do you start thinking about that already? You're still just trying to take it one step at a time here on the field?
Yeah, we're just still taking it one step at a time, trying to figure out what we're doing and worry about another team when that time comes.
All right, man. Best of luck.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks.
And that was Troy Andersen, who caught up with Mike Bell earlier today. And look, he's another guy that's got to take a step forward. I mean, he's got to be able to be a guy that you're protecting the inside. And, as these guys help to blow up some plays, hopefully in the backfield, in the middle of your defensive line, hopefully he's a guy that can clean a lot of things up, right? And at times he played well. At times he looked lost on the field. And that's rookies in the NFL. I'm not, criticizing him, for that. I mean, again, it's just one of those things that you find yourself, at times not in the right position as a rookie and not sure where you're supposed to be. And that happens all the time. But now with a year under his belt, and obviously he played a lot in the second half of the season, you got to figure he takes that step forward, right? Like, he's got to be a guy that takes that step forward. I don't know what his... I don't know what he's going to be long-term. He's not really a guy who sacks the quarterback. He's got a lot of speed. He can cover, hopefully. That's the one thing he can do is, coverage, speed, and different things like that. But I don't know what I don't know what he is long term. I don't really have a read just yet on Troy Anderson. Great athlete, no doubt about it. You know, was an offensive player, was a defensive player. I mean, no doubt about it. I mean, you don't have to judge his athleticism. But what is he as a football player? You know, what is he as a football player? Is he a guy who can get sacks? Is he a guy who just is a high-volume tackler? Is he a guy who can cover, right? Let's use Deion Jones as an example, right? Deion Jones was a guy who could cover, run sideline to sideline, wasn't always the biggest guy, wasn't always the best tackler, wouldn't necessarily, you know, take on some of the biggest guys, but he could cover, he could run sideline to sideline, and he was always had a nose for the football. I don't know what Troy Anderson's going to be, but I do know that he is an athlete. And if he can turn that into being a football player, now we've got something. Now some things are cooking, and you know, hopefully that happens for Troy Anderson this year. So, but again, important year for him to just continue to mature and evolve and pick his game up and, you know, make himself worthy of that second-round draft pick that the Falcons traded up to get him, right? 39 or something like that they traded up to get him. So, where did they trade for him, for Troy Anderson? Because they drafted Eva Cady and Troy Anderson in the second round. So, anyway, Day-Day will have that in a half hour for you. So, anyway, when we get back, it'll be time for That's Life. More updates, Day-Day, about this crazy story. Chuck Green, the Kia Studios. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, Odyssey.com app.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Having control over your healthcare is a relief. Yet so many Americans struggle to find that freedom at a price they can afford. That's why Christians across the country are turning to Redeem HealthShare Ministry. Choose your doctors, your hospitals, your treatments, all while keeping costs low. At Redeem, faith meets real affordability and the freedom to care your way. It's healthcare that lifts your spirit. Join the community today at RedeemHealthShare.org.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Back at it, Chuck Reese Show. 9:20 in the Kia Studios. You know what time it is.
That's life.
That's life.
That's what all the people say.
404-726-0929. That is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. All right, Day-Day. More craziness in this story about this young girl who just showed up to a police station after 4 years of being missing. And so the latest is there was an arrest made in this case that FBI agents raided a Montana home where she lived, and they actually hauled a guy out of it. So, she walked into a Montana police station.
Right.
Well, just the other day, supposedly there was a arrest made of somebody that they don't know what the deal is or how he knows her or what the relationship is or nothing like that. But supposedly she was there for the raid that they did and just made sure that, again, somebody was arrested in it. And supposedly she kind of hung her head and, you know, just kind of cried about the whole thing. So... Alicia Navarro hung her head and covered her eyes like she was crying as FBI agents last week raided the Montana apartment she had been living in with an unidentified man, neighbors told the New York Post. And then her mom had to go on Facebook and start making pleas about the fact that, what'd they say here? Her mom makes an emotional plea over the public's dangerous fascination with this case. I guess supposedly there are people that are going to her house and not necessarily causing trouble, but obviously it's a disturbing situation. You know, when there
everybody's
are
everybody's trying to snoop and kind of
right.
That's,
so
yeah, that's unfortunate.
So yeah, that's you know, TMZ mentality.
Yeah.
In today's world, but so more craziness in this whole story.
Yeah.
We're gonna keep on top of this. Listen, when news breaks, we take it.
Yeah.
When news breaks, we take it back and get a refund.
Yeah.
So anyway, here's a lawsuit that I think some people would get behind. Taco Bell has been hit with claims in a lawsuit that the fast food chain engaged in false advertisement of several menu items. The lawsuit alleges Taco Bell breached two sections of the New York General Business Law with its advertisements of three types of Crunchwrap and two types of Mexican pizza, claiming how they look in the ads materially overstates by at least double how much of the ingredients the products contain. So, you know, again, when they show you on TV and ads and things like that, it's massive, right? I mean, but they say that the specific menu items that made the suit claim that the make the claim that included the Crunchwrap Supreme, Grande Crunchwrap, Vegan Crunchwrap, Mexican Pizza, and Veggie Mexican Pizza. The lawsuit requested certification as a class action and mandate for Taco Bell to pay those under the class action in the filing of the U.S. District Court for the Eastern District of New York. It also wanted an order for the for the fast food chain to either cease sales of the items or fix the allegedly deceptive behavior as well. Taco Bell was not available for comment. Other than they said that, yo quiero Taco Bell, but that was not official. They said the advertisement is unfairly and financially damaging to consumers as they are receiving a product that is materially lower in value than what is being promised. They have prompted people to buy Taco Bell food items that they would have otherwise not made, the legal filing purported. So basically, they've overhyped what their food looks like in the advertisements.
But come on, like seriously,
everybody
what's
does
this
that.
But what's this? And what's this? Because it's a class action suit,
yes.
Right? So what? Everybody's gonna get like what, $5 out of that, probably?
Yeah. I mean, have you ever gone to Red Lobster? Does Red Lobster look like the TV commercials?
No. Okay. No. No.
Do most restaurants look like
TV most of them don't.
Yeah.
It's very rare.
Yeah.
Very
Again,
rare.
You see these fast food burgers, and they're 3 feet high.
Right.
Then you get up to the window, and they're like mush.
Yeah.
Like mush.
There's probably one place I've gone to, Olive Garden. They had this one pasta that they, I think it was like a, I don't know if they have it now regularly, uh-huh. but at the time it was kind of like a, you know, a special type of pasta.
Right.
With some seafood, some shrimp on it. And that's probably the one time I saw something look the way it looked on TV.
Okay. Well, again, most restaurants do that. Have you ever seen how most restaurants do their food pictures?
Mm-mm.
Like, they're fake. Go watch some videos uh-huh. on YouTube about how food pictures are taken. Where they're not edible. I mean, they do all these crazy gimmick things
right.
to food products to make them stand out and look important and look good.
Wow.
But they're actually not real, and there's no chance you could actually eat some of the products that are on TV as far as
right.
food advertisements and stuff go. So anyway, but this is, again, this is frivolous, dumb, but it's, you know, America, right? I mean, that's...
Here's coupons for everyone in the suit.
Yeah. Here's all the, you know, here's all the tacos that you can eat for a month, right? I mean, so anyway. All right. Happy birthday today to Jason Momoa. And I will say, I think he's dreadful as Aquaman. And that whole movie series is dreadful. There is nothing good about Aquaman.
No.
Other than the fact that that girl that was married to Johnny Depp, Amber Heard, right, was in the movies
right.
because she's nuts as well. All you need to know is that she's nuts as well. So with that tonight, the top 10 worst acted superhero performances of all time. Day-Day, the floor is yours.
Well, you know, this was really tough to narrow down to 10.
Yeah, so, really.
But at the top, I got Ryan Reynolds, Green Lantern.
You know,
I couldn't
do you
couldn't
think do Ryan Reynolds was bad, or was that a bad script?
Bad script, but... it just didn't, you know, it made him look bad, though. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so. I mean, look, because the movie was so bad, and look, he bounced back because
yes, he
there's
did.
Nothing better than Deadpool.
No, he redeemed himself.
Like, I'm telling you right now, this third Deadpool could be the best comic book movie ever. Next to The Dark Knight,
mm-hmm.
this could be the best comic book movie ever with Deadpool. If Deadpool 3... gets it right with these cameos and stuff.
Yeah.
And the people that are supposed to be in this thing. It might be the next best thing after The Dark Knight.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Someone that didn't redeem themselves in my eyes, Ben Affleck, Daredevil.
Yeah.
And he's on here twice, actually.
Oh, okay.
Henry
Cavill. Again, but man, you know.
Right. Henry Cavill as Superman.
Dreadful. I'll be honest with you. I think he is dreadful as Superman.
Yeah. Like, I even remember saying to my wife when we watched it, I was like, did he even talk? Like, he didn't, in that first one, it was like, it seemed like he didn't even have any lines. But,
It's absurd. Yeah. I mean, he looks good, right?
He's got the look. Right. Yeah. He's got the look.
He's got the body, but he is dreadful.
Yeah, terrible. Ben Affleck, again, as Batman. Brandon Roth. His Superman version. He was the one before
that movie was
Cavill.
So awful.
Yeah.
That was the worst. That might have been one of the worst superhero movies ever done.
Yeah. Yep.
And by the way, the bad guy in that movie
Kevin
is
Spacey,
also on
right?
my list.
Yeah.
He was dreadful.
Yep. Jessica Alba as Invisible Woman. Really, that whole cast really could have been. Yeah, that whole cast could have been on here.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I thought Chris Evans did okay as Johnny.
I thought the guy who played the rock guy.
Yeah, the guy thing. Michael Chiklis. Yeah.
I thought he was good as the Thing.
Yeah, he wasn't bad. Him and I thought those two were probably the better of the four.
Yeah.
Dolph Lundgren as Punisher. I don't know if you remember watching that.
I watched the movie. I actually didn't mind the movie. Actually, it was very kind of dark and gritty.
Yeah, it was.
I thought actually it was better
than the Thomas Jane.
But
I actually kind of liked the Dolph Lundgren as Punisher.
It was okay for me. I think because, you know, just reading the comics, I expected just a little bit more.
Right.
Halle Berry as Catwoman.
Yeah, I mean, other than the fact that
she looked great, right? George Clooney as Batman.
Yeah, Looney Tunes. He's awful. He was awful.
And then Hulk, Eric Bana as Hulk, or David Banner, I guess you could say.
Yeah, well, he was Eric Bana, the actor,
right? Played David. Bruce Banner. I said David. I'm thinking of the rapper.
I got a couple of people that are the same character.
Okay.
Kevin Spacey was Lex Luthor.
Yep.
He was horrendous. And then Jesse Eisenberg as Lex Luthor.
Yes, he was, yeah.
He was awful.
I didn't mind him. I liked him a little better than Kevin
Spacey.
He
looks like a curly-haired frat boy. That's not Lex Luthor. Lex Luthor's Gene Hackman.
Yes.
That's what Lex Luthor's supposed to be.
That's the greatest one.
Yes.
Yes.
He's the best. Gene Hackman was phenomenal.
Yes.
Because, again, he's an older guy. He's a sophisticated guy. Again, they had some 18-year-old punk playing Lex Luthor. It doesn't make any sense. I've got Jason Momoa because he was awful.
Yeah, he was.
As Aquaman.
That movie just was blah.
This may be controversial. Gal Gadot as Wonder Woman.
So I like the first one.
Okay, the movie isn't bad, but she's 3 foot nothing, 75 pounds. Wonder Woman is an Amazon.
Yeah.
That's why Linda Carter fit the part because she's an Amazon. She grew up on an Amazon island.
Right.
And Gal Gadot is like 3 foot nothing, 62 pounds soaking wet. Like she's too skinny.
Yeah.
It made no sense. Who is this? Henry Cavill.
Yeah.
He's dreadful.
Yeah.
What's his name? Brandon Ralph?
Yep.
He's awful as well.
Yep.
Not only do I have Ben Affleck as Daredevil, Colin Farrell as Bullseye.
Yeah, that was weak. Well, they wasted. That was such a wasted character, too, man.
It's awful.
Yeah.
He's awful.
Jennifer Garner was the best of the three.
Yeah, I agree. But Ben Affleck was awful.
Yeah.
Colin Farrell was awful in that movie. And then finally, Chris O'Donnell as Robin.
Yeah.
Is awful.
Yeah.
He's awful. Like, again, the Batman is bad enough with Val Kilmer and then, you know, George Clooney was horrendous. That casting of that whole thing with Clooney, Chris O'Donnell, Alicia Silverstone as Batgirl.
Yep.
Even Mr. Freeze, Arnold Schwarzenegger.
They went with names versus just actual.
Yeah. So who could play an actual character in these things? Just awful. Like, they're. Some of those movies are just dreadful. Like they've got this guy. What's this guy? Beetlebug?
Blue Beetle.
Beetlejuice. Like, how? Why would anybody watch that movie? I'm not criticizing him. It's just, why would anybody watch that movie?
Right.
Why would you spend $20 at the theater to watch Beetlejuice? Anyway, all right. When we get back, Steve Weiss joined us earlier in the show. What the chief analyst for NFL Network, whatever it is, what he had to say. Chuck Green, the Kia Studios. Sports Radio, 99 The Game, Odyssey.com app.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Back at a Chuckery Show, hanging out in the Kia Studios on this Tuesday night with you. 404-726-0929. That is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Well, fall camp's here and rolling right along. NFL training camp. Falcons obviously getting some things done. And NFL Network has got you covered from coast to coast. Let's head out to the WadeFord.com hotline, Lance Ford dealer. Let's talk to one of the men in the know, chief national reporter for NFL Network, our buddy Steve Weish, joining us here. You can follow him on his personal Twitter page, at Weish89. Steve, as always, buddy, appreciate a few minutes on the show tonight.
No, I appreciate you having me on. Looking forward to it.
You know,
is it a Twitter page anymore, or is it an X page? Because that doesn't sound right.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, yeah, we're not getting into that X thing. I'm still birding
Thank
it
you.
Up. Yeah, so. hey, Steve, I've never really asked you this, but you were part of a really good group of beat writers for the Atlanta Falcons. I mean, Chris Mortensen, yourself, Len Pasquarelli, Vaughn, D-Led. Like, you know, for all the, you know, lack of success that the Falcons franchise had for so long, that was a really good group over the years. I mean, you were part of a pretty good club of guys that covered this Atlanta Falcons team.
Yeah, don't forget Matt Winklejohn,
yeah.
Who did a hell of a job as well. Look, it was an opportunity, and even though, teams may not have success, it's our job to report the news. It's our job to tell great stories, and as somebody who covered a 19-win NBA team in Washington, and a lot of teams that didn't win, sometimes that's where the best stories are told, right? Because the readers or the viewers, or whatever, they may not care about the end result anymore because it's not positive, but they may start caring about the people and things behind it or why things aren't working. So you get to really tell stories a little bit differently than if this team was like in first place, whatever, and everyone's kind of riding that wave of momentum trying to win a championship.
Steve, you've been spending some time up in my neck of the woods. I was born and raised in Canton, Ohio, and I know you've been in Cincinnati and Cleveland. Let me ask you first about the Bengals before we get into some Falcons talk. But, boy, they dodged the ultimate bullet with Joe Burrow, and that could have gone a lot worse, and it certainly looked a lot worse when it first happened. How much are they crossing their fingers up there that, hey, we dodged something out there because their season would have been over? I mean, say what you will, but their season would have been over if Joe Burrow's not the trigger man.
Over. I mean, just because look at the rest of the AFC, especially even their division. And plus, he's just, I mean, other than Patrick Mahomes, he's that guy.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's got that Mamba mentality, so to speak, where 2 minutes left in the game, he's coming for the throat. And so, yeah, I mean, they feel – I won't say they feel like they dodged a bullet. They feel when I was there, the attitude was like, okay, yeah, he's going to be back in a couple weeks. The interesting thing is, will Joe Burrow step on the field before he gets that contract extension? Mm. You know, that's going to be interesting. I don't know if he'll necessarily play hardball and say, hey, I'm not going to play unless I get it. But at the same time, the Bengals, you know, Duke Tobin and the people in the front office might be like, okay, let's go ahead and get this done. There's no reason not to. So that's, you know. But again, in terms of how they feel about things, it was he's going to be back maybe by the season opener, and we're going to be just fine. Because I tell you what, that roster is loaded. It is loaded, but it might be loaded for just one more year because once they pay Joe Burrow, that wide receiver trio is probably going to break up, and they're probably going to start losing some more key players.
Yeah, I was thinking, Steve, that when if you were at training camp around the Bengals facility at all. Look and see if there's a dumpster full of cash because that's what it's going to take to pay Joe Burrow. I mean, it's going to be mega sized.
Well, him and then Jamar Chase.
Yeah,
I mean that's the thing. They've got two scoops of money they got to dish out. So that's an interesting about drafting. Well, you want to keep your guys when they play two premium positions. It's going to hurt you in some other spots.
Let me ask you about the Browns. You know, they felt like a couple of years ago that whether ownership or coaches or general managers, you know, they looked at themselves and thought they had a Super Bowl-ready roster with Chubb and Garrett and a lot of guys on their offensive line, and they were a quarterback away. Bring Deshaun Watson in. I mean, obviously things were kind of sideways last year and things like that, but how much pressure is there on Watson now that, look, there's still a lot of talent on that team they've got to figure some things out, and they've got to start winning. I mean, or their coach is not going to be around. Look, I have my issues with Stefanski about some of his decision-making, but, again, they need to start winning because that roster is too good to be just kind of in the muck and mire of the AFC.
I agree. I was there today, and, man, that roster is really, really good. And then you add Jim Schwartz coming in as defensive coordinator.
Yeah.
That defense is going to be a lot better. I mean, his defenses tend to really be high takeaway teams, which is what they need. I mean, you add Za'Darius Smith along opposite of Myles Garrett on the edges. I mean, they're just stacked. But, no, Deshaun Watson is under pressure, right? This team mortgaged its soul to get him in a lot of different ways. And, you know, last year you have to say he came in under circumstances that he brought on himself. A whole lot of things were going on, and people I talked to today said he's not dealing with any of that, right? He is dealing with just playing football. So he's got to come in and win because his division is loaded with quarterbacks. The AFC is loaded with quarterbacks. And I'm telling you, man, they've got some players. That rookie wide receiver, Cedric Tillman out of Tennessee, looks like a stud. Getting Elijah Moore in the slot from the Jets looks like a stud to go with Amari Cooper. Of course, Nick Chubb. They've just got players all across the board, and he is the ultimate X factor to me in the NFL. If he plays well, Cleveland could be one of these teams that could end up making a lot of trouble for a lot of teams, not just in the AFC, but in the NFL.
Chief National Reporter for NFL Network, Steve Weiss, joining me here on the WadeFord.com hotline. All right, let's talk about some Atlanta Falcons. By the way, are you going to do the preseason again this year?
I'm not.
Okay.
I'm not. They, you know, they told me thanks, but they're kind of going in different directions. No, but I mean, I just really appreciate the opportunity.
Yeah.
So I got nothing but love for that organization for giving me a chance.
Let's talk about this team. You know, one of the things that's been preached a lot about Arthur Smith is just positionless football. And we've heard that term a lot with the Bijan Robinsons and Tyler Algiers and Jonnu Smiths and Kyle Pitts and everything like that. How difficult is this offense going to be to defend? Because, again, they can do so many different things with their personnel, and especially as they get down deep, they've got a lot of ways that they can line up and look at teams. How difficult of a matchup are they going to be for teams to try to stop?
Well, I mean, ideologically, it's going to be a pain. Because here's the thing. You know what they're going to do, right? They're going to run the football. But, you know, they're just not going to line up and smash it on you. They've got, like you talked about, the varied types of skilled players with Bijan Robinson, with Tyler Algiers, with Cordarrelle Patterson. They've got massive wide receivers. And I tell you this, I talked about it when they did it. I'm glad that people are starting to recognize Mac Hollins, right? He is a huge target, incredibly physical. He can make the big play. If you watch what he did with the Raiders, he's good near the end zone. When you saw what he did with the Dolphins, and he's an excellent special teams player, and he's a monster blocking against the run. So they've got so many different packages that they can align with. You can go three by wide and put, you know, Pitts, London, and Mac Hollins on one side, and then you come back with Jonnu Smith as a weak side guy or somebody else, you know, Bijan Robinson. There are so many different looks they can give teams to stretch the defense and then just basically run a simple power run play up the middle with Algier where they spread everybody out that he's going to gain 15 to 20 yards. And they can give you that look 20 different times and run 20 different plays out of it.
You know, Steve, one of the things you were dead on about was the fact that Tyler Algier would be an impactful player. And I remember watching you and you know, hearing you talk about Tyler Algier and how much he was going to impact this football team. You know, I feel like with Algier, with Bijan, it really doesn't matter who's RB1. Like, I don't really think about, you know, that, okay, this guy's got to be this lead back, or how are they going to split care? Like, they're going to have plenty of opportunity to run the football with both of those guys and catch the football with both of those guys. Like, I don't really look at the importance of RB1 on a team like this because they're going to do so many different things with both of those running backs.
100%. I mean, you know, you think about a team like the Browns, who I was up here covering. Like, Nick Chubb is RB1, right? He is
right.
Just that dude. But with the Falcons, and again, I'm going to harken back to some things you used to see with the Saints and the Packers and some teams. If they get a first-half lead, right, a lot of times they'll go with all those different fleet packages and things like that that we just kind of talked about. The second half, you're just hitting screen plays, you're powering the ball, you're you're crushing the clock and just beating the hell out of teams almost into submission by the fourth quarter, a lot like what the Titans would do. They would get maybe even a 17-13 lead, and then they're just loading up on you in the second half and beating you to where they're going to get another second half touchdown and a field goal to win games, you know, 27-14, just because your defense at some point's got to cry mercy. And I just, again, you know ideologically what the Falcons want to do, but they just, it doesn't matter. Again, one game it might be Tyler Allgeier. One game it might be Cordarrelle Patterson. You just don't know because they've got that many types of bodies, which is why the offensive line, you know, and the quarterback, it really, the success of this team all comes down to those two position groups.
Chief National Reporter for NFL Network, Steve Weiss, joining me here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. Flip over to the defensive side. You know, last time you and I talked, I said that I thought the low-key best move that this team made in the offseason was bringing Jerry Gray in. And we're already hearing guys talking about how, whether it's Richie Grant, Jalen Hawkins, Jesse Bates, guys are already talking about the influence that Jerry Gray has had on them. Look, this could be a really not just talented, but I think that this could be a special group in the secondary with Okuda, Terrell, Bates. Like, this has a chance to be something really special. Harkening back to maybe some of those old Falcon secondaries, you know, where Deion and Scott Case and some of those guys, this could be a really special group for this team.
Wow, look at you bringing up the Deions and the Ray Buchanans of the day. There you go.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I remember that. Listen, Tim McKier, Deion Sanders, Scott Case, and Brian Jordan. That was my guys, man. That was my guys.
Right, but I mean, it's – look, there's a lot of wisdom in that. Like Jesse Bates, I mean, here's just someone who just covers a lot of territory. You know, A.J. Terrell, he can cover off one side of the field. Okuda, we still need to see it, right? But as we talked about last time as well, you can have the five – best DBs in the NFL. If you're not getting pressure on the quarterback,
yeah,
they can't cover these studs, you know, for very long. So, you know, that's still the most impactful part of it, you know, and so we'll see what Ryan Nielsen can do, because, I mean, one thing Falcons fans should know is that Saints defensive front, they found ways to generate pressure. And so if you're one of these outside linebackers / defensive ends in this defense, you should love this, because you look at some of the edge players that came through Ryan Nielsen, and he coached some of those guys up. Because inside, they're going to be fine with Onyemata, Calais Campbell, and Grady Jarrett. You know, they're going to stir things up. So, you know, again, whether they're going to manufacture pressure, some guys can find out ways to win individually, that's really going to be the key to how things work.
Well, and, you know, Steve, I mean, again, and I bring this up all the time. I mean, it's – you know, can Ebikadi be that fire breather? You were just up in Cincinnati. Well, you know, Hendricks, I mean, you know, he's a fire breather coming off the edge. Miles Garrett's the ultimate fire breather coming off the edge. I mean, those are the guys that you have to have. And I wonder if an Arnold Ebikadi can be that kind of player. Can he be a fire breather that comes off the edge for this team?
We'll find out. I mean, you know, look, all those guys have somebody on the other side as well. I mean, Trey Hendrickson's got Sam Hubbard. You know, Miles Garrett, now he's got Za'Darius Smith. So, you know, a lot of times you've got somebody who can steer traffic, you know, into a collision. And so they've got to find other ways to, you know, not give escape routes to the quarterbacks. But, yeah, I think Ebikadi, I mean, I'm a big fan of his. He's a heavy-handed guy. He showed flashes last year. I think there's some expectation of him this year. And, you know, we'll see. Again, playing under Ryan Nielsen, he should thrive a little bit just based on some of the success he's had coaching edge players, and he's got the talent. Now if he can just pull everything together with what they're doing overall on the defensive front, you know, he could be.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus from Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them, and you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman. New season streaming November 16th. Only on Paramount+.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
When was the last time you thanked God for your health care? At Redeem HealthShare Ministry, it's not just about paying medical bills. It's about honoring Christ and relieving the burden of rising medical costs. From routine checkups to life surprises, Redeem offers affordable, flexible programs supported by a caring Christian community. Say amen to healthcare that fits your faith and your budget. See how it works at RedeemHealthShare.org.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10-7 through 12-1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game, back at a Chuckery Show, hanging out in the Kia Studios on this Tuesday night with you. 404-726-0929. That is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Well, fall camp's here and rolling right along. NFL training camp. Falcons obviously getting some things done, and NFL Network has got you covered from coast to coast. Let's head out to the WadeFord.com hotline, Lennis Ford dealer. Let's talk to one of the men in the know, chief national reporter for NFL Network, our buddy Steve Weish, joining us here. You can follow him on his personal Twitter page, at Weish89. Steve, as always, buddy, appreciate a few minutes on the show tonight.
No, I appreciate you having me on. Looking forward to it.
You know,
is it a Twitter page anymore, or is it an X page? Because that doesn't sound right.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah, we're not getting into that X thing. I'm still burning
Thank
it
you.
Up. Yeah, so. hey, Steve, I've never really asked you this, but you were part of a really good group of beat writers for the Atlanta Falcons. I mean, Chris Mortensen, yourself, Len Pasquarelli, Vaughn, D-Led. Like, you know, for all the, you know, lack of success that the Falcons franchise had for so long, that was a really good group over the years. I mean, you were part of a pretty good club of guys that covered this Atlanta Falcons team.
Yeah, don't forget Matt Winklejohn, who did a hell of a job as well. Look, it was an opportunity, and even though, teams may not have success, it's our job to report the news. It's our job to tell great stories, and as somebody who covered a 19-win NBA team in Washington, and a lot of teams that didn't win, sometimes that's where the best stories are told, right? Because the readers, the viewers, whatever, they may not care about the end result anymore because it's not positive. But they may start caring about the people and things behind it, or why things aren't working. So you get to really tell stories a little bit differently than if this team was like in first place, whatever, and everyone's kind of riding that wave of momentum trying to win a championship.
Steve, you've been spending some time up in my neck of the woods. I was born and raised in Canton, Ohio, and I know you've been in Cincinnati and Cleveland. Let me ask you first about the Bengals before we get into some Falcons talk. But, boy, they dodged the ultimate bullet with Joe Burrow, and that could have gone a lot worse, and it certainly looked a lot worse when it first happened. How much are they crossing their fingers up there that, hey, we dodged something out there? Because their season would have been over. I mean, say what you will, but their season would have been over if Joe Burrow's not the trigger man.
Over. Over. I mean, just because look at the rest of the AFC, especially even their division. And plus, he's just, I mean, other than Patrick Mahomes, he's that guy.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's got that Mamba mentality, so to speak, where 2 minutes left in the game, he's coming for the throat. And so, yeah, I mean, they feel, I won't say they feel like they dodged a bullet. They feel, when I was there, the attitude was like, okay, yeah, he's going to be back in a couple weeks. The interesting thing is, will Joe Burrow step on the field before he gets that contract extension? Mm. You know, that's going to be interesting. I don't know if he'll necessarily play hardball and say, hey, I'm not going to play unless I get it. But at the same time, the Bengals, you know, Duke Tobin and the people in the front office might be like, okay, let's go ahead and get this done. There's no reason not to. So that's, you know, but again, in terms of how they feel about things, it was he's going to be back maybe by the season opener and we're going to be just fine. Because I tell you what, that roster is loaded. It is loaded, but it might be loaded for just one more year because once they pay Joe Burrow, that wide receiver trio is probably going to break up and they're probably going to start losing some more key players.
Yeah, I was thinking, Steve, that when if you were at training camp around the Bengals facility at all, look and see if there's a dumpster full of cash because that's what it's going to take to pay Joe Burrow. I mean, it's going to be mega sized.
Well, him and then Jamar Chase.
Yeah,
I mean that's the thing. They've got two scoops of money they got to dish out. So that, you know, that's an interesting thing about drafting. Well, you want to keep your guys when they play two premium positions. It's going to hurt you in some other spots.
Let me ask you about the Browns. You know, they felt like a couple of years ago that whether ownership or coaches or general managers, you know, they looked at themselves and thought they had a Super Bowl-ready roster with Chubb and Garrett and a lot of guys on their offensive line, and they were a quarterback away. Bring Deshaun Watson in. I mean, obviously things were kind of sideways last year and things like that, but how much pressure is there on Watson now that, look, there's still a lot of talent on that team. They've got to figure some things out, and they've got to start winning. I mean, or their coach is not going to be around. Look, I have my issues with Stefanski about some of his decision-making, but, again, they need to start winning because that roster is too good to be just kind of in the muck and mire of the AFC.
I agree. I was there today, and, man, that roster is really, really good. And then you add Jim Schwartz coming in as defensive coordinator.
Yeah.
That defense is going to be a lot better. I mean, his defenses tend to really be high takeaway teams, which is what they need. I mean, you add Za'Darius Smith along opposite of Myles Garrett on the edges. I mean, they're just stacked. But no, Deshaun Watson is under pressure, right? This team mortgaged its soul to get him in a lot of different ways. And, you know, last year you have to say he came in under circumstances that he brought on himself. A whole lot of things were going on, and people I talked to today said he's not dealing with any of that, right? He is dealing with just playing football. So he's got to come in and win because his division is loaded with quarterbacks. The AFC is loaded with quarterbacks. And I'm telling you, man, they've got some players. That rookie wide receiver, Cedric Tillman out of Tennessee, looks like a stud. Getting Elijah Moore in the slot from the Jets looks like a stud to go with Amari Cooper. Of course, Nick Chubb. They've just got players all across the board, and he is the ultimate X factor to me in the NFL. If he plays well, Cleveland could be one of these teams that could end up making a lot of trouble for a lot of teams, not just in the AFC, but in the NFL.
Chief National Reporter for NFL Network, Steve Weiss, joining me here on the WadeFord.com hotline. All right, let's talk about some Atlanta Falcons. By the way, are you going to do the preseason again this year for the Falcons?
I'm not.
Okay.
I'm not. They, you know, they told me thanks, but they're kind of going in different directions. No, but I mean, I just really appreciate the opportunity.
Yeah.
So I got nothing but love for that organization for giving me a chance.
Let's talk about this team. You know, one of the things that's been preached a lot about Arthur Smith is just positionless football. And we've heard that term a lot with the Bijan Robinsons and Tyler Algiers and Jonnu Smiths and Kyle Pitts and everything like that. How difficult is this offense going to be to defend? Because, again, they can do so many different things with their personnel, and especially as they get down deep, they've got a lot of ways that they can line up and look at teams. How difficult of a matchup are they going to be for teams to try to stop?
Well, I mean, ideologically, it's going to be a pain. Because here's the thing. You know what they're going to do, right? They're going to run the football. But, you know, they're just not going to line up and smash it on you. They've got, like you talked about, the varied types of skilled players with Bijan Robinson, with Tyler Algier, with Cordarrelle Patterson. They've got massive wide receivers. And I tell you this, I talked about it when they did it. I'm glad that people are starting to recognize Mac Hollins, right? He is a huge target, incredibly physical. He can make the big play. If you watch what he did with the Raiders, he's good near the end zone. When you saw what he did with the Dolphins, and he's an excellent special teams player, and he's a monster blocking against the run. So they've got so many different packages that they can align with. You can go three by wide and put, you know, Pitts, London, and Mac Hollins on one side, and then you come back with Jonnu Smith as a weak side guy or somebody else, you know, Bijan Robinson. There are so many different looks they can give teams to stretch the defense and then just basically run a simple power run play up the middle with Algier, where they spread everybody out that he's going to gain 15 to 20 yards. And they can give you that look 20 different times and run 20 different plays out of it.
You know, Steve, one of the things you were dead on about was the fact that Tyler Algier would be an impactful player. And I remember watching you and you know, hearing you talk about Tyler Algier and how much he was going to impact this football team. You know, I feel like with Algier, with Bijan, it really doesn't matter who's RB1. Like, I don't really think about, you know, that, okay, this guy's got to be this lead back, or how are they going to split care? Like, they're going to have plenty of opportunity to run the football with both of those guys and catch the football with both of those guys. Like, I don't really look at the importance of RB1 on a team like this, because they're going to do so many different things with both of those running backs.
100%. I mean, you know, you think about a team like the Browns, who I was up here covering. Like, Nick Chubb is RB1, right? He is
right.
Just that dude. But with the Falcons, and again, I'm going to harken back to some things you used to see with the Saints and the Packers and some teams. If they get a first half lead, right, a lot of times they'll go with all those different fleet packages and things like that that we just kind of talked about. The second half, you're just hitting screen plays, you're powering the ball, you're crushing the clock, and just beating the hell out of teams almost into submission by the fourth quarter, a lot like what the Titans would do. They would get maybe even a 17-13 lead, and then they're just loading up on you in the second half and beating you to where they're going to get another second half touchdown and a field goal to win games, you know, 27-14, just because your defense at some point's got to cry mercy. And I just, again, you know ideologically what the Falcons want to do, but they just, it doesn't matter. Again, one game it might be Tyler Algier. One game it might be Cordarrelle Patterson. You just don't know, because they've got that many types of bodies, which is why the offensive line, you know, and the quarterback, it really, the success of this team all comes down to those two position groups.
Chief National Reporter for NFL Network, Steve Weiss, joining me here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. Flip over to the defensive side. You know, last time you and I talked, I said that I thought the low-key best move that this team made in the offseason was bringing Jerry Gray in. And we're already hearing guys talking about how, whether it's Richie Grant, Jalen Hawkins, Jesse Bates, guys are already talking about the influence that Jerry Gray has had on them. Look, this could be a really not just talented, but I think that this could be a special group in the secondary with Okuda, Terrell, Bates. Like, this has a chance to be something really special. Harkening back to maybe some of those old Falcon secondaries, you know, where Deion and Scott Case and some of those guys, this could be a really special group for this team.
Wow, look at you bringing up the Deions and the Ray Buchanans of the day. There you go.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I remember that. Listen, Tim McCyer, Deion Sanders, Scott Case, and Brian Jordan. That was my guys, man. That was
right.
My guys.
Right, but I mean, it's look, there's a lot of wisdom in that. Like Jesse Bates, I mean, here's just someone who just covers a lot of territory. You know, A.J. Terrell, he can cover off one side of the field. Okuda, we still need to see it, right? But as we talked about last time as well, you can have the five best DBs in the NFL. If you're not getting pressure on the quarterback,
yeah,
they can't cover these studs, you know, for very long. So, you know, that's still the most impactful part of it. You know, and so we'll see what Ryan Nielsen can do, because, I mean, one thing Falcons fans should know is that Saints defensive front, they found ways to generate pressure. And so if you're one of these outside linebackers slash defensive ends in this defense, you should love this, because you look at some of the edge players that came through Ryan Nielsen, and he coached some of those guys up. Because inside, they're going to be fine with Onyemata, Calais Campbell, and Grady Jarrett. You know, they're gonna stir things up. So, you know, again, whether they're going to manufacture pressure, some guys can find out ways to win individually, that's really going to be the key to how things work.
Well, and, you know, Steve, I mean, again, and I bring this up all the time. I mean, it's, you know, can Ebikadi be that fire breather? You were just up in Cincinnati. Well, you know, Hendricks, I mean, you know, he's a fire breather coming off the edge. Myles Garrett's the ultimate fire breather coming off the edge. I mean, those are the guys that you have to have, and I wonder if an Arnold Ebikadi can be that kind of player. Can he be a fire breather that comes off the edge for this team?
We'll find out. I mean, you know, look, all those guys have somebody on the other side as well. I mean, Trey Hendrickson's got Sam Hubbard. You know, Myles Garrett, now he's got Za'Darius Smith. So, you know, a lot of times you've got somebody who can steer traffic, you know, into a collision. And so they've got to find other ways to, you know, not give escape routes to the quarterbacks. But yeah, I think Ebikadi, I mean, I'm a big fan of his. He's a heavy-handed guy. He showed flashes last year. I think there's some expectation of him this year, and, you know, we'll see. Again, playing under Ryan Nielsen, he should thrive a little bit just based on some of the success he's had coaching edge players, and he's got the talent. Now, if he can just pull everything together with what they're doing overall on the defensive front, you know, he could be that guy.
Steve Wise, he's the chief national reporter for NFL Network. You can find him on his personal, what is it, Twitter page, MySpace page. I don't know what it is nowadays. At Weish89. And he joined me here on the waitfor.com hotline. Steve, as always, buddy, appreciate it, man. Thanks for a few minutes on the show tonight. And we obviously will talk again soon.
Loved it. Thanks for having me on.
You got it. Chuck Green, the Kia Studios. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, Odyssey.com app.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus from Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them, and you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Having control over your healthcare is a relief. Yet so many Americans struggle to find that freedom at a price they can afford. That's why Christians across the country are turning to Redeem HealthShare Ministry. Choose your doctors, your hospitals, your treatments, all while keeping costs low. At Redeem, faith meets real affordability and the freedom to care your way. It's healthcare that lifts your spirit. Join the community today at RedeemHealthShare.org.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast,
friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.